audiences.
You're listening to Potty Mouth Radio, the home of movies, music, television, and comedy.
Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film and the title of the podcast.
Now playing, movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, you goddamn fantastic people, and welcome to Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, episode 251. And after 250 episodes, we've sold out. Whatever the opposite of sold out is, we have decided to spread our wings and join the Potty Mouth Network. We're very proud to be part of this network. There'll be a little blurb about the network at the end. We can now talk to Billy as the fourth member of this podcast because he is doing the editing for us.
Holy shitballs. Poor Billy. He has to listen to a lot of my voice moving forward.
Yeah, so the task for you guys during this podcast is to say one thing so fucking outrageous that we see if it makes it through the edit.
Okay. I think Sam is cool. How about
there
that?
We go. That's it, exactly. But this is the very first episode of ours on that network. And for something as special as this, you got to bring along Machu. No, you don't. He fucking sucks. Instead, I have Kahu. How are you doing, Kahu?
Yeah. While Machu's enjoying the great sights of China, we're stuck here doing the real work.
I don't think we should be mentioning that because there's probably several government agencies that want to know what you is.
Yeah.
And yeah, the less they know, the better. The other person joining us for this special episode, Liz. How are you going, Liz?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I would say that the government agencies are perfectly happy with Machu going offshore, and maybe they'll be quite happy if he just never comes back. Oh, poor Machu, we're being very mean to him.
Exactly. And we're not here to talk about Machu. We're here to talk about the new film written and directed by Alex Garland called Civil War. Stars Kirsten Dunst, Nick Offerman, and Wagner Moura. And whoever's seen it the most recently has to give us a plot. Liz, what's the plot?
I was last Saturday.
Yeah, we saw it on the Thursday. We were opening night, baby!
This is some bullshit. Okay, well, it's fairly basic. There's some war shit going down in America, and there's some journalists that want to cover the end of it, and so they're racing against time to try and get to the White House to be able to cover it before any other journalists do.
To interview the president before he dies.
Yeah, I was trying to, avoid spoilers.
We've got a spoiler alert warning right at the start, Liz. We can say whatever we want. We can say whatever we want. Has a score of 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb. 77% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's dropped. Mm. That was 97% or something for a little bit.
Mm.
Interesting.
Wow.
And then a score of 75% on Metacritic. But let's get into the meat of this podcast. What we do is we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. We start with 10 that can be applied to any film. We then move through three personal questions that we thought of while we were watching this movie. And the one we start with, if we liked it, is a compliment sandwich. If we don't like it, we give it a shit sandwich. And if we really, really liked it, we either give it a hyperbole shit or hyperbole compliment sandwich. But who's going to lead us off? Kahu, what do you lead us off?
I can lead us off. Yeah.
Lead us off. Lead us off.
Finish me off, Kahu.
Okay, that is not what I said.
Hey, wait till after question 20.
and after the video is turned off. Thank you.
I need an audience. It's a free world.
Yeah,
I just don't want to watch it, that's all.
A good thing. I thought this film was excellently paced. Just real tight runtime. Works itself in well between kind of the lulls, and not a lot of exposition goes on, which we'll probably talk about as we go on.
We will.
But there's... the film just kind of broods away, and you get these moments of really vicious violence and just brutal executions. And there's flashbacks for Kirsten Dunst's character Lee, where there's a dude with a tire lighted around his waist. It's horrific.
Yeah.
I cannot watch people on fire. I just cannot do it. And as soon as it happened, I turned away and was covering my face with it. And I could just hear my partner. After he's it's done, and I'm thank you. So I can sit back and look at the screen because I cannot watch that. It's just so awful and so brutal.
I can't watch people on fire either. It's just weird. It's just weird trying to watch people on fire.
Yeah,
and there were two separate instances in that movie of people on fire. By the way,
I'm with you as well.
Which is a lot.
The one juxtaposition scene that really got me was when they were the night before they were trying to go in and find that building, and they were just hanging out, and Wagner Moura was getting a little bit stoned and drinking and all that sort of stuff. And then it was just this quiet moment, and then just boom, drops you straight into a fucking gun
real
battle.
Real hard cut. Yeah.
Yeah, really hard cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think, and it was just slowly beginning to escalate, and it was just one of those movies you're not kind of comfortable watching the whole way through.
Correct, yeah.
Bad thing, like there were a few cliches, Sammy and Lee's characters and the whole self-sacrifice element. I don't know. I'm not a filmmaker. I'm not sure how I would have done it differently, but there's a little bit of cliches in parts.
Mm-hmm.
And a final good thing, I was just pleasantly surprised with the film. Didn't know a lot about it before going in. I think I may have seen one trailer, but didn't really reflect what the film was about. And I just thought it had like quite a lot of originality for a lot of films that are coming out lately. I like that about it. I like they didn't spend a lot of time on the background and why one state was on this side and why this one wasn't, which a lot of reviews have kind of picked up on as if they needed to explain more. But I don't need to see a 3-hour film where the first hour of that is discussing all of that crap.
This was something that I was going to factor into the things I liked, but like I wanted to know more, and like the fact that it left me wanting to know more is a really like awesome part of this film. Like like for me, we got to see almost the climax of everything that's come before it. And what this leaves itself ripe to is any different way that they want to pitch a sequel. You know what I mean? We can see the uprising of the Western forces, as they call themselves, Texas and California. You know, we can see these other battles and that sort of stuff. It's like left itself ripe for like, you know, wanting to know more about the story, which, fuck me, there's very few films that you walk out of and you're like, I want to know more.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess they had political considerations about not going too much into the background, but I just think the film worked much better without it.
Mm. So how many Leica lenses out of 10,000 are you going?
I really like this. I'll go with 9,000 Leica lenses.
I was waiting for a real Kahu answer of, I really like this.
6,200.
Yeah, exactly.
No, like I...
God damn it, Kahu.
I struggled to find things wrong with this film. I thought, I just thought it was really good all round. Yeah, like there's been a bit of criticism that some of the characters weren't that well developed, but I just didn't see that as a problem. I thought there was enough character development to move the story forward, which was the most important thing.
Yeah, agreed. On to you, Liz.
All right, so my first good thing is that I think that the movie was just beautifully constructed. It just had amazing cinematography, and I will be shocked if it doesn't win awards. Like, there's just really clever. Sam is laughing at me, so clearly he doesn't agree. But
No. You motherfuckers have taken everything that I had to answer.
That's how we roll.
Got nothing left.
As Kahu says, you know, like the pacing's good, but just actually the way that they film it and they put things together and make you see things in a certain way, I just think it's really impressive. And as you guys are saying, like, I haven't seen that in a lot of films lately. I mean, there's a few come up, but that really stuck out to me.
There was that one scene after Sammy got shot and he's dying in the back of the car. And it
with the lights?
Showed the lights. And he's
but
just
it was
like,
burning trees. It wasn't even like...
After leading like this real hectic life, he's just like, reflecting on this fire going on around him.
And it's
beautiful.
I liked
the
balance of that too. And that's it. Like, the movie's very balanced. And so, yes, that's this beautiful, calm moment. But actually, is it? Because they're driving through a giant forest fire. So
yeah,
then
in
reality, it's not. And I just thought, that was so well done in all these different parts of the movie. My bad thing is, I think you guys will disagree with me based on what you've already said, but I feel that they should have done some more exposition. I recognize that Garland didn't want to delve too much into the left or right with bad guys. I get that, the whole political aspect of it. And like with the hotbed of intrigue that's happening in America right now, that could have been really polarizing and caused heaps of problems. So I can see what he was trying to do. But I think he could have opened it with a series of just quick news snippets that set the scene a little better. Or even a montage of Lee's photographs or a couple of, you know, headlines of what's his face is writing. What's the horny guy's name?
Wagner Moura is the actor's name.
Joel. Joel.
The newest son of a J. One, yeah. Yeah. So like something of him, you know, just something like that, just to set the scene enough so you kind of went, oh, okay, so this is where we're at, because there was almost nothing. And I think that made it a little bit more difficult to understand what was going on, which I think may have been the point, but I would have liked to see a little bit more. And that could have developed out the Lee character and the Joel character and their sort of careers and history, kind of could have provided a bit more of that oomph. I would have liked that.
I just figured that California and Texas kind of started in the West and just railroaded themselves until they got to Washington.
Yeah.
But is that right? Like, you don't know. And I get that was probably the point. It's not necessarily what I would have liked, but whatever. My other good thing is that it was awesome to watch it at IMAX, and I love any reason to go to IMAX. And I'm shoving that in the face of two men who live in a town without IMAX.
This is the Stacey answer.
Yes! I was really hoping you'd say it was the Stacey answer.
It was the Stacey answer. I can't remember what movie it was that we were like talking about. She's like, bad thing. I really didn't like the popcorn that I got at the movie theater. It tastes a bit stale. Like, they hadn't made it real. I'm like, what the fuck?
To be fair, though,
it's your experience of the movie. It's not the movie itself.
But it was made in a way that made it good for IMAX. And actually, I think they possibly thought about that when they made it, so shut up your face and eat a dick.
Is there an IMAX?
How can I shut up my face while eating a dick at the same time, Liz?
Get creative, Sam.
Oxymoron, man.
You're an oxymoron. So basically, in conclusion, that was my other part. I just really wanted to cram in there that I went to IMAX. I love my IMAX. And I got like full recliner seat, and I taken a blanket, and it's just the best thing in the history of the planet.
Is there an IMAX in Wellington?
Yeah, and Lower Hutt, it's amazing. Oh. Brings me so much joy. An IMAX and a VMAX. I don't really know what the difference is.
We've got a VMAX.
Yeah. It's not the same. So it's not. I don't know what the difference is, but it's not the same.
My screen's bigger than yours.
So I'm going to give this 9,344 Leica lenses, really similar to Kahu. It was a really good movie. I just couldn't call it perfect because I felt like there was just that lack of clarity regarding the scenario of it. But nah,
so,
loved
so
it.
Basically, and the IMAX screen's worth 344 points by itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it. And I knew nothing about this film until about 5 days before it came out, and when, oh, this looks good. This could be a good IMAX movie. Should we go to the IMAX on Saturday and book the ticket? I didn't know really anything. So I was really stoked coming out of it to have liked it so much.
Well, anybody reading my brain would have known that this was in my top five most anticipated movies of the year. I haven't told anybody that about my list or anything. They just would have had to have guessed. But
how many of those have been released so far?
This is about the only one that I can remember being on my top five.
not June 2?
Oh, yeah, that was on there as well. Yeah,
I'm not looking into your brain for anything, Sam. I had no idea. Yeah.
No, I mean, my addled child-infected brain now doesn't remember where the fuck I was 10 minutes ago, let alone what I was looking forward to this year. But, I mean, it was, yeah, I mean, Alex Garland, absolutely love him, love Ex Machina, love Annihilation. Yeah, he's a good filmmaker. So I was really looking forward to this. I mean, you guys have taken a couple of my points. I thought it was amazingly cinematic. I thought, basically in opposition to what Liz said, I liked that we got nuggets of trivia of what had happened. Like, I liked that we start off with Nick Offerman.
Well, that was quite organic.
Yeah, it was organic, and it was awesome. It was like he's giving the speech, and we're like, oh, okay, maybe we should be in support of him. And then you find out he's used drones against him. You know, they talked about how you're talking about, like,
the airstrikes,
California and Texas. Like, would they really be pairing up? You know, one's staunchly Republican, one the other one's staunchly Democrat, so, you know, left wing, right wing. But we even get somebody say, as soon as this is over, they're going to turn on each other. Mm. You know, there was stuff like that was like, it sort of created this universe I wanted to know more of. The only other thing, I mean, the bad thing for me, there was a couple of parts that defied logic. Like, there was a bit at the end when we walked out, and you made a good point, which I agreed with, which is, why the fuck did no one else go into the, you know, White House? Why is it only one, this small little team, and these journalists, as if that was the only people that would go in there? And I was like, there was moments like that you might have called them cliche, and I sort of agree that there was points that I was like, this is kind of bullshit. But then my favorite thing, the tension in this movie. Mm. Holy fuck, he knows how to ratchet up the tension. Mm. There's so many scenes that I was like, legitimately, I've got no idea where this is going. Jesse Plemons' scene, obviously people are going to talk about that a lot.
Oh, fuck
fucking
me.
Fucking terrifying. But to drop the one at the start where they go around the corner and there's two people tied to a fucking roof who have stolen things, and the guys are standing there with a gun, and this young, naive, meek girl, I'm like, oh, this is not going to go well.
Yeah. I was like,
what the fuck?
When he turned to follow her down there, I was like, oh.
Great.
Yeah. the amount of times I said, oh my God, in this movie, like it's just constant. I was just like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, just freaking out. Just because, yeah, there were just all these moments where you're just like, holy shit.
And yeah, obviously, spoiler alert, I mean, we've given it at the start of the film, but like, at no point did I think Kirsten Dunst is going to die. And then for them to have that at the end, I was like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, everyone else in that car was like, they're expendable. They're all going to fucking cark it. And no, I don't even know if she did die or not. I mean, they've said that she did, but...
No, I had predicted that pretty early. And the reason I thought that she might was because Jesse was taking photos of her, and I wondered if it would end with like a montage of her life or something, and like with these photos that Jesse had taken as like taking her place. So I kind of saw that coming, but I wouldn't say it was predictable. I just had a feeling that that would happen.
So did I, but I liked it so much I didn't want her to die. So I mean,
it was kind of like
it's a good movie that makes you do that.
Yeah, it was like one career going down while the next one's climbing up. You know, like it was that again, that balance. They had that balance. You know,
to me, it felt like it was set up pretty early on that one of them was going to die at the end.
Mm. Yeah, same. There's a little bit
of uncertainty as to who it would be, but yeah, I like the historical throwback to famous war photojournalist Lee Miller. That was cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Sam, what was your score?
9,562. This is probably film of the year, and it beat June 2 for sure. I don't know if anything else is going to beat it this year. This is totally my jam. Mm. I love dystopian films, and I love so much about this. But we'll talk about it a little bit more as the podcast goes on, because I've seen his answer, so I'm going to make him ask question number two.
You're a dick. Okay, and this is a Patreon question, courtesy of Chris Yenny. Thanks,
our man, Chris.
What on-the-nose song would you drop into this movie and where?
And just before you answer, Liz, me and Kahu both had Guns N' Roses Civil War.
You did.
Right? We did. It's so obvious. But Liz, why don't you hit us with your answer?
Mine is extremely different and really unique and brilliant. It's War, James Brown. War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. I felt like that was a pretty key thing. And really, you could just chuck it in anywhere. I didn't really... There's no specific place because the whole thing is just a really good evidence of why war is a fucking shit show.
I suppose if we had to branch out, I mean, War Pigs by Sabbath or Masters of War by Bob Dylan. I mean, there's a few other really good ones we could drop out there. And literally any point during this movie is fucking perfect for those, because this movie from start to finish is pretty fucking, this is fucked.
My backup answer, because I knew Sam would take that other one, White Stripes, Seven Nation Army, and I would have had that at beginning, just as that tank's like rolling around the corner.
To blow
the White House gates. Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? I think I'd put mine in when they mention about the president doing the airstrikes on civilians. I think that would be a good place to sort of put it in and be like, what is it good for? You know, you can't just go fucking... airstrike your own.
I think I missed that because I asked Sam after the movie, how has it got to this point where everybody hates this president and ready to kill him straight away as soon as they see him?
Yeah, I think that's why I wanted that setup, because I think it would have really made that end way more powerful, because you would have really gone, this guy is a fucking disaster. All they really said was he did airstrikes against his citizens, sent drones in, I think, as well, and that he disassembled or disestablished or whatever the FBI. There wasn't much more than that.
Yeah. He was refusing to secede power as well. That was his other thing. Because he was calling himself the third term president and whatever. He was so scummy that just some random girl that they've sent out to negotiate for them, like, nah, fuck you, shoot for that.
Whoa, okay. That was brutal, yeah.
And they just shot her too. I was just like, oh, fuck. Oh, all right. Yeah. Another, oh, my God. Yeah.
Question three, Liz.
All right. What was the biggest dick move in this movie?
I'm going to go with Kirsten Dunst just taking photos of the victims of a suicide bombing, effectively a suicide bombing at the start, rather than helping them. I get that this establishes her as a character, but her first instinct, while everyone's fucking cowering, running away, dying, needs medical attention, she just runs in, snap, 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 snap.
Yeah, and that's a big theme of this film, eh?
100%.
The
loss of humanity, right?
And we'll delve
the loss
into
of humanity,
that later.
How far to go to get the story.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And sort of playing on that modern culture where, you know, everything's a story and everything's online as well.
Correct, yeah.
Biggest dick move for me was president sending out his staff in the limo as a decoy.
Oh, yeah. Fuck
what
me.
Asshole.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that, but, oh, Yeah, that guy obviously gave no shits about anyone but himself. Absolutely.
It almost becomes a preposterous, insane leap of logic that these people are still so loyal to him, you know?
Yeah, I did consider that as my philosophical debate. Does it just go far enough where they're like, we're too far in now, we're just loyal to the end type thing?
There must be deserters, right? Because they're saying, you know, there's a few secret service agents that are still loyal to him. But there must be people that are like, fuck this.
Have you watched The Regime, the TV show, that's the new one with Kate Winslet? So that kind of delves into that of like, she's a batshit crazy European dictator and they... But like how people are still sticking with her and trying to believe in her. And it's basically this culture of, well, I don't know if anyone else thinks this. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks he's bad, and I don't know who to talk to. And maybe I'm wrong, you know. And you just get up in your head. Like, people are very easily sort of manipulated, and then you can get trapped in a situation you have no idea how to get out of. So,
correct. Like, one of your friends comes to you with an idea of, hey, we should record a podcast, and then 251 episodes. You're like, how did I get this far in?
It's that loyalty through fear.
Exactly.
Yep. Mine was Jesse getting Lee killed. I just think it was just such a stupid move to jump into the middle of that corridor during a gunfight.
Yeah.
It was just so selfish. She just wasn't thinking. And it's her fault that Lee died. So I think that is a massive dick move.
It made no sense to me because, like, obviously the shot that they're aiming for is the shot of the president dying. The person shooting them isn't the fucking president. What are you doing jumping in there?
Yeah.
What are you hoping to get? Oh, yeah, fucking pissed.
That's it. She just got too swept up and everything and just didn't think about the consequences of her actions and got someone else killed. And then took a photo of her dying, which I know they'd talked about early in the movie if they would, but it felt very callous in the moment. Mm. So I found that quite a shocking moment.
We're talking about shocking scenes. What scene will you guys remember on your deathbed?
So there's that scene where Jesse takes that picture of the soldier dying and Lee comments afterwards that like it's a really good photo when they're at the stadium. But the thing I remember about that is just the cold execution of those prisoners they take, and then immediately afterwards they're just like all matey and kind of joking about it.
Particularly
The character of Joel, you know, he's just like, yeah, how good was that, you know? It's like, wow. There were those moments in this film, where it was just like the tension just switched immediately. Yeah.
And they're so jovial
about such fucking insanity.
Yeah.
And they did such a good job of that. Like, the music that they picked for it, and that they're marching them out with this like fucking party rave music or whatever, and then they just fill them full of holes while they're partying. Like, it's just so creepy and disturbing, 100%.
Yeah.
For my one is quite a sort of, it's a little bit of a quieter moment, but it just really stuck with me, was when you saw Go Steelers painted on the overpass, and it just felt like this very normal, oh, we're just an American country, that's all fine. And then the focus must have shifted slightly, just the way they did it, is that your eyes refocus and you realize there are two hanging bodies directly behind it. And you're like, oh my God, like it just the way they did that really stuck with me, that they made it so inobtrusive and it was just this moment. And it was this horrifying thing that you could see bodies just hanging.
Yeah, that juxtaposition between the everyday and
the way they did that.
The horror perfection of the current time. Yeah.
Horrifying, but perfection. You know, just so well done.
I thought I was going for the easy answer. It was Jesse Plemons. That scene with Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
Fuck me. It's just a random dude hanging out with some pink sunglasses on.
Yeah, what was with those?
Straight murdering dude. Where are you from? Colorado's in America. Yeah. Where are you from?
Menacing, eh?
Yeah.
Florida. I thought he might have tried to kill him for Florida because they said that Florida was talking about things seceding or whatever.
But that was the thing, though, why it was so menacing, because it was uncertain where his loyalty
had no idea where it was going. And then he kills the guy, and you're like, oh my God, he is actually going to kill people. And that poor guy is sitting there, can't even talk, and then he says Korea. I mean, I would have just said DC or something, you know, try to say something, and because I wouldn't have trusted him to, but then I didn't think he was going to kill him for
Hong
Korea.
Kong.
Oh, is that what it was?
Hong Kong, he just gets fucking immediately smoked.
Oh, yeah, because then he goes, China, and then shoots him. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the point. So, this is not a scene I'll remember on my deathbed because I'm making it a strong effort to forget it because it was so fucking disturbing.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough. That honestly, that was so brutally done. And then the fact that I loved Sammy coming out. I didn't predict that. I didn't see him coming through and just driving through everyone.
Yeah, it's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, and then where Jesse gets knocked into the pit, and then you see how many bodies are in there because you think it's going to be 8 or 10. And it was actually like 20, 30? I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, because it had been kind of just isolated killings up until then, and then
that
sort of brought more of the full horror of the whole situation.
What I find terrifying about that is for us as outsiders looking in on America, is we watch a scene like that and we're like, that'll probably happen.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, in a situation like this, 100%. And they were all just people wearing normal clothes and an array of people. Well, there wasn't, you know.
They were wearing army fatigues, weren't they? They were all fucking ready to go with their own little militias or whatever.
They were just people. And that, I thought he did a good job at that because I really felt like her and thinking how hideous it would be to have to push yourself up off bodies and like try and push yourself out, get yourself out of the situation. Like the just feeling that around you, I just thought, oh, that would be so ghastly.
Yeah. I think that was, and it also reflected the commentary of the movie and that like war for us is generally somewhere else. And, civilians die in war somewhere else.
Yeah.
But they brought that right close
but there
to
it's
home.
Just every minute and you're right, like for New Zealand it's really somewhere else because we are so distant from everywhere that it does always feel like a million light years away.
Question five, what do you got, Kohu?
What was the biggest load of bullshit in this movie?
Okay, so I'm going to say California and Texas partnering up as the Western forces, and obviously this has been touched on in the media, but what particularly stuck out about it to me was it wasn't even like a general Western state alliance. It was those specific two. And I just found that really weird that it would just be California and Texas hanging out and be like, do you know what? We both hate this cunt. Because I just don't – that would just be an amazing scenario that those two states would team up to defeat the president.
Yeah. Well, I think it was because probably the two largest states, eh? I mean, California definitely is in terms of economy and population.
Sure, but we're not like
that.
Arizona, I feel like, would have a bunch of people, you know? Like, I don't know.
I think, yeah, they both would have gone, sure, we're like maybe different politically, but this dude is totally raining down on our independence.
That's
Let's join up.
What I thought. It was like, it's kind of like the horseshoe philosophy of politics.
Yeah, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah. Like the further around you get on the horseshoe, no matter which direction goes, you're crazy fanatical.
No, wait. That doesn't work. Enemy of the enemy is my friend because the enemy of... So, California and Texas are enemies, but...
What I'm saying is it's kind of like Marvel comic fans hate DC comic fans and DC comic fans hate Marvel fans. But for most people on the outside looking in, you're like, you're both the same.
We hate them all. Yeah, we hate all
I know, you're like, they're both the same. And so for me, it's like... If you're
I love that that's how you went to where it's like basically
I'm trying to explain in a way that everyone can understand. It's like staunchly right wing Texans are like, fuck that, we don't want this fucking president telling us what to do. Staunchly left wing are like, we don't want
this president killing people it's funny, isn't it?
All this sort of shit. And so they've come together, and the fact that, like I said earlier, you know, that they're going to turn on each other the first chance they get, I'm like, yeah, that's fucking true. But they've got this common goal where they're like, hey, fuck this guy. This guy is totally against everything we stand for. California always wanted to be a republic. That's always been like, hey, we could secede from America and we'd be perfectly fine on our own. We're buoying up the economy of the rest of the country.
Look, I'm not debating
Texas
that.
Texas is like, you don't mess with Texas. So I'm like, this is fucking the bomb.
I always think it's fair when you see that in like dystopian American stories that California is its own country now, Texas is its own country now. I get that. I just found it hilarious that the Western Forces was just these two specific states.
So did I. I agree with you on that because when they start talking about all the loyalist states, I'm like, what? Because if you look at a map, it's like you would have thought that, like you're right, like Colorado, Arizona, all those ones are between Texas and California might have been like, nah, fuck that. This guy could get fucked as well. But they do touch on that in the trivia for it, in which they say those states were the first states to fall. But then it's funny because it's like Oregon and all those other ones, North Dakota or Wyoming and all these other ones are now Taoist or something. Florida's gone the other way. It's gone fucking... But are they helping these forces?
I loved how there's the Florida Alliance and they're just sitting back going, yeah, we don't like the president either, but We'll just let the Western forces do all the work.
You guys do the work, and when it's done, we'll probably fucking take over you guys.
Well, yeah. I would have also wondered, like, surely you get, like, the separatists and you know, like, the all gun freedom nuts or whatever in, like, Montana. Isn't there, like, huge separatist movements up in that area?
Yeah,
I thought they would have been in there going, yeah, fucking we're in here. Well, who knows?
I want to see more about this universe. I'm so fucking intrigued.
Yeah, 100%. So there's what's your guys' answers then?
Oh, for me, it's bringing the meat girl with them. Like, what the fuck? Like that for me at the start, where, you know, yes, we find out Wagner Memorial was trying to bang her when he was drunk or something, and he promised her, hey, we'll take you with us or whatever. But, like, we've seen Lee as a character. I'm like, there's no way in hell she would bring this girl along with her.
Mm.
There was no softening to her, any of that sort of stuff. I was like, she's, you know, they're going on the most craziest fucking adventure of their, like, professional lives. They're not going to take along some dead weight who's learning the ropes.
Yeah, no, see, I don't know that I agree with that, because I think that Lee was very sort of, like, kind of, she cared about it. Like, she didn't want her to get hurt, but she was also kind of like, eh, if you want to do that, you do that. Like,
I know.
And apparently that is quite common that journalists will team up. Like, that's why they took Sammy. You know, they team up and work together to get places.
Even taking Sammy, they were debating it. They were like, oh, I don't know about this guy. For some random girl who's got nothing to offer.
Fucking lucky they took her. Took him. Yeah, I mean, 100%, not her. But yeah.
Well, I think just because they were under a time pressure and Lee didn't find out about Jesse coming along until, like, the very morning.
Yeah.
I think she was just like, whatever, we just got to go. Yeah.
Yeah. What about yours, Kahu?
I mentioned this to Sam in the movie. So I get it, you know, the soldiers are quite close to achieving their goal and getting into the White House. But they had gone in there with a tank, like, literally just behind them. They run around the corner and immediately a whole bunch of them get blown up by the guard tower at the White House gates.
Yeah.
And then the tank comes along. It's like, wow, good work, team.
You're leading the tank, guys.
Yeah.
Well planned, well managed. Yeah, I've got a special mention on that then, if you don't agree with my California, Texas, is the fact that Sammy gets shot in the lower abdomen while he's sitting in a car. I don't quite know how he got the bullet wound where he got it.
I wondered that as well. When that happened, I was like, how did he get shot? Like, if you get shot driving a car, you're generally dead. Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with how a bullet passed through JFK and then right turned and then went for his driver's hand?
Yeah. Oh, science. Got it.
Don't work right in America, guys. Bullets in America are very, very odd.
Uh-huh. Particularly because he had he'd kind of come down the hill, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The science just wasn't there, and I was like, okay, whatever. Like, you have to get gut shot if you want him to be lasting for a little while and then die. Like, everyone knows.
Was he shot before he reached the pit or after?
No, he comes out of nowhere. He doesn't even get shot at.
Yeah. It's after, right?
After the pit, yeah.
So he's already, like, driving away. It's the firing after him.
Yeah.
And there's other people with all the rest of them in the car, and we're
fine. Yeah.
The gunshot came from inside the car.
Yeah. It was Jesse.
Somebody was trying to get rid of Sammy.
Where they're cleaning up his blood off the seat, that was quite dark as well. Where you're just kind of like, oh God, they have to clean it up and just keep going. That's all.
Liz, there's a question about what reminds you about your everyday life in this movie later. So can we please not ruin my answer for later?
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. In that case. what character best represents the other podcasters?
Well, Liz is known for having trouble making decisions, so she's clearly the dude debating how and when to kill the thieves.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Fair, actually. Yeah. I hate making decisions, so good call. Yep.
Yeah, and we all know that Kahu's a murderous racist. So it's clearly
oh, wow. Appreciate the honesty.
I clearly am talking an alternate universe here, guys. I was like, there's no one in this that reminds me of either of these two people in a positive or negative way, because this movie is such weird people. That being said, before you guys get in there, I'm totally Sammy. You know, when they show up at that place and he's like, fuck this, I'm out of here. What are you guys doing? You guys are fucking idiots. I was him up until that point where he saves them all in the car. That's not me.
Yeah. I do as Sammy as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't.
I'm not moving for anyone. And I'm too slow. And people are just like, we can't take him with us. He's fucking useless. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, no, I've got Sam as the president. because you've got the charisma and the white man ability to get yourself into power, and then you've got some maybe questionable decision-making skills. So you can make decisions. They're not necessarily good ones. So that's why you're the president.
Please don't let them kill me, listener.
Yeah, and you would also pitifully beg for your life at the end.
So we normally have what question would be the worst thing here after sex. I knew we were all going to have them have, please don't let them kill me. So I was like, I'm taking that question out of the podcast.
Yeah, I think that's a fair call. Kahu, you're Joel, because you're relaxed, you're ethnically ambiguous, and you just roll with the shit show.
I was going to say Joel, because he gets really horny when he's in the gunfights.
But occasionally get excited.
We went paintballing for Kahu's birthday. My God, he was so fucking horny. It was
okay. So Kahu, you said that Sam is Sammy for the reasons Sam offered others.
Yeah, basically the same reasons. Yeah, had myself as Joel as well, and I had you as Liz.
I thought she was more of Jessie is the young meat girl, because I've seen Liz jump into a random car of strangers before.
Why do you keep saying meat girl?
Meek.
Meek.
Like quite meek. And
yeah, I was the meat girl? Did she bring meat? Was she sitting there eating salami? Did I miss something?
Did you not notice the ton of sausages that she was carrying in her backpack instead of film?
I did not. Okay, meek. That makes way more sense. I don't think I'm young and meek. No, I'm way more. I am tired and annoyed with stupid people. So
I think you're Lee if you're anyone. Yeah. If I'm giving serious answers, which I'll obviously
the low threshold for bullshit.
Yeah, just a bit over it and just like, oh great.
Anyway. Question number 7: what scene from another movie starring one of the actors from this movie would you insert into this film just to confuse the hell out of people?
I'm cheating. I'm going to say it has to be done because it's one of my favorite shows. I'm saying Nick Offerman is Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. And I'm going for the very specific scene or the quote when he says, "My idea of a perfect government is one guy who sits in a small room at a desk and the only thing he's allowed to decide is who to nuke." And I think it needs to go in at the... Yeah, so then put it at the very start before he goes out to make the statement, and that'd really ratchet up the tension of the movie. You'd be like, holy shit, what is this about?
That'd be really good.
I know.
So I had when they're staying in that rundown stadium and there's like kids around just, you know, maybe they found a ball somewhere and they're just trying to have a bit of fun and a bit of normality. I thought, how cool would it be if Kirsten Dunst's crew from Bring It On jumped in there and had a bit
That'd be cheerful, a
cheerleading show off.
Oh dear. What if they would they be doing the lines that they stole from the black girls team though? Then that could start some racial tensions. Could be quite awkward.
Oh, definitely.
I'm very proud of you. That's fucking really good answer.
Love it.
The one I had that I thought someone was going to take was like when she's in the hotel and they're telling her you have to climb the stairs and all this other shit. She's like, oh, whatever. I was like imagining that if she was kind of pissed off. So she went outside, upside down, pashed Spider-Man. And then came back inside and then climbed up the stairs. I was like, that would be fucking confusing.
I related to her there. I got bad knees too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was more evidence that I am Lee because I hate stairs with the passion of my soul and I also like baths. So really that whole hotel scene really locked it in that I'm the most lucky.
But do you like upside down smooching Spider-Man? Is it
depends on the Spider-Man. I quite like Andrew Garfield. I'd probably go there. Toby Maguire, not so much.
Not an upside down hanging from the ceiling Toby Maguire.
No.
Question 8, what have we got, Kahu?
What deep philosophical debate arose in you while watching this movie?
I had said that essentially human nature is just this complex beast, really. And the movie, I think, shows that really well with how much different characters are engaged in what's going on. So, like, you've got some people who are doing everything they can to get in the middle of it. Some people want to watch it and just talk about it on the sidelines. Some people are doing everything they can to stay out of it and pretend it's not happening. And I think for me, the debate was whether there's a right course of action in this scenario. Is it okay to stay out? Is it okay to get involved? I feel like you could argue all the different sides and it's hard to know what the right thing is to do.
Mine was, who the hell is paying these people at this point?
Yeah.
What's left of the New York Times?
Yeah, that's right. Well,
they talk about that. They're like, you know, you're still working for the fading company or whatever, or the failing company, there's New York Times. I was like, who does that work for?
Joel,
where do they get their money from?
Joel says when he's talking to Jesse Plemons, he works for Reuters. And so, and I could totally see that. Like, internationally, they'd be paying big bucks for good photos and quotes and articles and stuff.
Shit, that's a good point. That does make sense.
Yeah, Reuters would be right in there. Al Jazeera, you know, like, they'd be wanting to report on that to the at the wazoo.
I was along the same lines as you, Liz. How they detach themselves from what's going on when they're war journalists. And it was interesting that that comparison they had with those two other journalists that were like all kind of uniformed up and riding along with the army, and they were sort of had less of that independence supposedly and were more just almost like publicity people for the Western forces. And
100%.
I thought that was quite well played as well, and like kind of examining the role of modern media.
100%. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And now onto something less serious. What character deserved to get punched in the dick?
I mean, Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the obvious answer, right? I mean, between him and Jesse Plemons, it's pretty, like,
it's
pretty obvious, these answers.
But imagine if they'd done that, like, because my answer is the president as well. And I was like, they should have done that before they shot him full of holes. Like, that would have just been an amazing bit of the scene of, like, fuck you, and just, like, punched him in the dick and then put it out the guns and shut him.
That would have been great. I also want to throw out my kind of somewhat controversial answer. Like, we were talking about how it cuts between the scene with them at night and they're trying to get to sleep, and then the next day they're in a shootout, right? This guy throws out smoke grenades to try and, like, cover the escape of this guy that's hid behind a pillar.
Mm-hmm.
He then says to the guy, go.
Yeah.
And it's barely smoky. The guy then gets blown away and he's dying there, and he's trying to keep him alive and shit. Meanwhile, we cut back to another scene and it's fully smoked out. Why was it so important for this guy to try and run through a hail of gunfire?
Yeah.
That guy deserved to get punched in the dick. Stupid call, bro. Stupid call telling your mate to run that quickly.
I just had Jessie again for mistaking her camera for a gun giving cover fire when she caused Lee to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just such a dumb move.
Yeah.
Just solidly dumb.
You could see it happening too. You're just like, oh yeah, this is what's happening here.
I'm surprised no one's called out Wagnamora needing to get punched in the dick when he's so horny during his fucking scenes. Like, with his gun barrel, he's just,
Yeah.
I was just going to say, with the president, like, I think that could have been really good, like, as I said, if they did that before they shot him, but after he'd, like, tried to negotiate and then tried to beg for his life and stuff, and they were like, he was like, don't kill me, don't let them kill me. And then they were like, okay, and they punched him in the dick, and then they killed him anyway. Like, that would have been good. And also, just, what did he expect? Like, did he really think he was going to fly out of there? Also, I found that hilarious, by the way, that he wanted to fly out to Greenland or Alaska.
Oh, because Alaska is now neutral, apparently. But, like, they're going to turn on you, bro.
Maybe it was his home state.
Yeah, but Greenland, I also thought was, I just thought it was a really weird two options. Do you know what I mean? Like, of all the countries in the world, you're choosing Greenland or Alaska. Well, if Alaska's its own country now, I suppose. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Funny.
Question number 10, Liz requested I put this in there, and I'm struggling to answer it, but what aspect from this film most reminded you of your own personal life?
Okay, so I asked you to put it in there because it really occurred to me while I was watching the movie. I recently got back into playing PUBG, Player Unknown Battleground, and I have to say, when Lee and the Game of Food are grabbing those insurgents, so the scene you were just talking about, you know, the insurgents or whatever you'd call them against the soldiers in the block of buildings, I just could not help but think of it in respect to PUBG tactics. Like, I was like, oh yeah, he's hiding behind the pillar, and then he's, oh yeah, he's going to peek out and shoot, and then tuck back in. Oh, now he's throwing a smoke bomb. Yep, good. Now try and heal your teammate around the corner quickly before the enemy comes to get you. So, and then I was like, Liz, this is not PUBG. This is actual Civil War. But it's just really funny to me. Like, I could see the whole thing playing out in a PUBG scene. And then I think then they just totally riddled the three full of holes, which was like, actually, yes, that does happen on, like, the Sky Isles and stuff. But then I think after that, it went back to not being like PUBG. But just for
this
a little
is the
bit,
real world, Jack.
Yeah. It was kind of weird. It felt like a video game to me, and like this one that I've been playing. So I just thought,
I mean, you could have made something up completely then, and I wouldn't have known any different.
Yeah, I've got no idea what you're talking about.
It's just, I'm this really cool gamer, guys. Like, unlike you guys, I'm really cool and I'm a gamer. So, you know, about
that's how
game.
You unlock the Eternal Sword. Oh, okay. Yeah. the dildo of chance. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
And also, like, they had the colourful stripes on the buildings. They have that in PUBG. Like, I'm telling you, that was totally PUBG scenes. Just saying.
Right.
I'll be quiet now. What do you guys got?
I'll take your word for it.
She won't be quiet. the biggest load of bullshit on this podcast. Liz saying she's going to be quiet.
Shut up.
So our little crew in this movie, a lot of the time they spend kind of escaping one situation, bad situation, and moving to the next, which is always worse. That feels like my life.
Oh, that's so depressing.
Fuck, I'm glad I haven't got a depressing answer at all, man.
What's that? Oh, there's a movie, or maybe it's a TV series, and the actor goes, oh, tomorrow is always the worst day of my life or something. It's like, life's always getting worse.
Falling down.
Maybe.
We've reviewed it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know. I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm, yeah.
So did you come up with anything, Sam?
I did. Mine isn't nearly as depressing as Kahu. My one is, I reckon, I did support absolutely none of it, but that being said, similar to Lee, I reckon if I died on the job, I don't think anyone would care.
Oh, I think people cared about Lee dying.
No, they didn't. They just moved on.
That's what I'm arguing. Well. I'm not arguing about you, but Lee, I feel like they did.
Not really. I don't
You're right, though.
Really
they
cared.
Did. But I guess they were
no
in the moment.
To see if she was all right. No, I was like, I'm joking.
She was clearly like, not going to be all right.
I've got no answer. What the fuck answer is this? Holy shit, I got nothing. I got nothing for anything in this movie reminding me of my own real life.
You know what? I found the quote, and guess what movie it's from?
What?
Office Space. So Peter says...
Your favourite movie.
Exactly.
You can't remember what movie it's from, and it's your favourite movie.
So Peter says... So I was sitting in my cubicle today and I realized ever since I started working, every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
That's right. That's a great quote.
Okay.
Solid. I think it's me then, moving on to my questions. So question 11, which of Nick Offerman's previous characters became the president? And if you both choose Ron Swanson, that's cheating and lame.
No, but it is. It's Ron Swanson's. He's had a Tammy incident, and as a result, he's now used drones and a whole bunch of other shit that he shouldn't have done.
Wait, Tammy 1 or Tammy 2?
I don't know. Whatever the one that makes him get fucking cornrows in his hair and makes him do crazy
Tammy
shit.
Tammy 2. 1 turns him into a really nice man and controls everything about him. I just watched that episode the other day. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Whatever the Tammy one is that makes him go crazy. Either that or his role in Sin City, but I'm pretty sure he dies in Sin City.
Yeah, I don't remember him in Sin City. Metal Beard from Lego Movie. Metal Beard's blimmin' intimidating. He's intimidating.
Ooh.
I could see him forcing his way into president. Yeah.
My other option was, is he a gynecologist on Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Like Raymond Holt's ex-lover?
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah. He's in like one episode and it's fucking hilarious. There's this whole thing about... it turns out Captain Holt threw away his duck statue and he's really angry about it. Oh, you have to go watch it. Great episode. I love it, Nick Offerman. I have to say, when he came out, I was like, ooh, I don't know if I can take you seriously as a president. But then actually it was kind of good because he was obviously this fucking disaster president, like Trump. So, yeah, then I was kind of like, oh, I know. I can see that then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of like leaders of forces and whatnot, my next question is, who could they have cast as the leader of the Western forces if they had that in the movie?
Well, you need to bleed Texas into California. Mm. So you need to take a very famous Texan actor who's very California as well, like very Hollywood. All right, all right, all right. Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very good.
Oh my God, that's a great call. 100%. Okay.
Vice President, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Sweet.
Yeah, I was kind of along the same lines. Has to be larger than life and a popular figure capable of bringing people together. And I went a bit meta with this and went for our beloved Arnie.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I did wonder if you might go with, someone might go with that. Yep.
And I
Governator.
Just, yeah, yeah. I just watched the Arnold doco too, so.
I'm disappointed that there are no women in either of your governing parties, but, you know, sexist pigs. So, the question 13.
What would your answer have been?
Who's the famous Texan woman? Is Reese Witherspoon Texan?
Actually, in this very niche TV show that I watched, it was for two seasons and nobody's ever heard of, Revolution.
Everyone's seen Revolution.
Have they?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
No. See, it's this movie where all the electricity goes, and it's about America basically breaking up in a whole bunch of different states, and the California's its own country, and it's led by President, oh fuck, what's her name? The chicken 13 going on 30?
Well, Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, President Garner. Oh, they think, oh, no, President, it's President, no, no, it's President Affleck, I think, and then they say her. So is that her? Because she was married to Ben Affleck,
yeah,
right?
Jennifer Garner was married to Ben Affleck.
Yeah, so I think at the time you were like, oh, it's Jennifer. Like, Jennifer Garner is the president of the California, which I'm not saying is a good choice, but that always made me laugh. Anyway, question 13. In what other movie would the Canadian dollar be more valuable than the American?
You got the same as me, Idiocracy?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
that's,
it's definitely
so
Idiocracy.
Clever.
It's so Idiocracy. Idiocracy is, if people don't know, people should watch it.
Set
600 years in the future, a guy who's an American military man who's been cryogenically frozen is a bit of a dumbass.
No, he's just perfectly average. He's the most average person
he's
you'll ever meet.
He's the most average man possible. Him and a prostitute have both been cryogenically frozen, and they come out 600 years in the future to discover that due to only dumb people breeding, the entire country is turned into a bunch of morons, and I'd like to think that maybe Canada might have avoided that fate, and as a result, the Canadian dollar is actually worth some money compared to the American dollar, which is all about Brondo and fucking putting electrolytes on plants.
Oh my God, yeah.
President Water. Becomes president for a wrestling match. And shit.
You mean the toilet liquid on the plants?
Water.
I love that film. I love the film, and I love the way they kick it off, because you watch that first bit where they kind of explain how everybody's become dumber, and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, actually, that's really legit. Oh my God, we're absolutely heading towards an Idiocracy. Like, I think that's brilliant, that movie.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. What's your answer?
Independence Day. Because one of the big things in that movie is that most of the time it's just spent in the States, and we see like New York City and Washington and probably a whole bunch of other cities get totaled by the aliens. And then there's like a tiny montage at the end showing a few other cities. I reckon Canada escaped that fate.
Yeah, it would have been like they smoked Toronto, and then they're like, oh, do we do Vancouver? Oh, who cares?
Yeah. Montreal, yeah. Winnipeg, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair call. If it was TV, it'd be The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. That's what I thought of too.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Anywho, that moves me over to my questions. Me, Kahu, and my workmate, that all went and watched this movie, walked out and all had the same question, which is, what was up on the roofs of that seemingly unfazed town? For people that are like, what are you talking about? There's a bit there where Sammy and Lee are talking to each other, and then she's like, this is so weird, and he's like, have you not noticed it up on the roofs? Don't look directly. And then she sort of kind of goes off focus, and then it's like, what the fuck is up there?
I just thought it was pretty self-explanatory that there were snipers on the rooftops.
But we didn't see any, right?
Yes,
no,
you
know,
did. You saw guys wandering around with guns. Did you not see the guys walking around with guns?
No, we didn't.
Yeah, it comes up there, not for very long. Like, it's just her glancing, and she sees these two guys with guns.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah. I didn't notice that, but as soon as he said, just look up, I was like, oh, yeah.
Ah.
I mean, that's what I thought anyway.
But I kind of guessed it was that, but then I thought to myself that these American towns love having American flags hung from roofs. And so, you know, like up on the, and you couldn't see any American flags in this town. So I was sort of like, have they just gone, yeah, fuck it, we're our own place now, fuck it. But yeah, I mean, guys with guns. I didn't notice it. Well done, Liz.
So I thought you'd seen that. So then I thought, okay, so you want me to come up with a reason that they're up on that specific roof?
No.
Well, I have. I've decided that the town had an inside scoop on what was happening at the White House. So they had combined all their wealth beforehand and put it all into gold bullion so that they could be warlords in the aftermath. And so they were just protecting this huge stash of gold bullion on that roof. That's my theory.
That's
Fort Knox.
When he said look up, they're actually under the dome.
Sure.
No, there was a comet coming towards them. Don't look up.
Next question. Good luck to you guys who are obviously not as film nerdery as me, because I've got a couple answers to this. But is Wagner Moura's character the most bizarrely horny dude you've seen in recent film? And if yes, it makes sense. I mean, like, as we see in this film, he gets incredibly excited and horny when he's in battle. He even says, nothing turns me on more than being in a gunfight. And so if yes, is there anyone that even comes close? Can you guys think of another, like, bizarrely horny for no reason person in film?
I feel like there was unintended innuendo in there.
See, I found that really funny because I didn't get the vibe. I mean, there was a bit of a vibe going on with him, but I just thought it was because he was Brazilian and he just had a bit of that, you know, casual charm going on. I didn't get him being super, super horny, but whatever. I mean, I'd tap that.
There's a scene where they're having a shootout and the young girl Jesse's like, and he's like, I know, oh, it's so good, or something like that. Like, it's like, what the fuck?
But I actually think Jesse Plemons' character just had way more of a hard-on for, like, power and violence. He probably had had massive wood while he was, like, shooting people in the head. Yeah, that kind of guy, I reckon, was just really getting off on it.
You don't stroll around in pink sunglasses unless you're pretty intense.
Total freak.
Yeah.
I mean, this question was going to be my answer for which top 10 list would you have this film on? Top 10 movies with bizarrely horny dudes.
Yeah, right? Right?
I'd love to know what your other 9 movies are on. Actually, no, we'll table that. We'll talk about that after the podcast.
It'd be 9 Nicolas Cage films. Nicolas Cage and Face Off.
It's more specific than that, too. It's recent films.
So American Pie has to be
there's
up
there. There's got to be 10 recent films with bizarrely horny dudes in them.
Okay, well, name like the last 9 Nicolas Cage films, and you probably...
I've gone the Austin Butler character from June 2.
Yes, there we go.
Yeah.
That was bizarrely
horny. Which character's that?
He's like the bald-headed dude in the House of Harkonnen.
Fade Harkonnen or whatever.
Yeah.
Which he's kind of reluctant until the priestess comes along.
He had like the opposite horny vibe. Like the opposite to... There was no cool...
It was creepy horny. Like he was getting off and people getting murdered, whereas this guy's just getting off from the fruit of being murdered.
Yeah.
The only thing that comes close, and it's not a recent movie, is David Cronenberg's Crash, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone. I'm just, like, people that know, no. People that don't look it up.
That's I haven't seen it. That will shock you, but I have not seen it.
It will not shock me at all. I'm not talking about Crash from 2004 that was like nominated for an Oscar. I'm talking about a different
Crash. Yeah, I also haven't seen
90s.
That. Okay.
Don't look it up, anyone. Anyway, question number 3. Why do you guys think troops are so cool with journalists breathing down their necks in these shootouts? Because I couldn't get over it. I couldn't get over the fact that like they're bringing these guys along for the ride. They're right behind them. They're
in the way.
Getting in the way a ton.
Yeah.
Why do you think they're cool with it?
This was another answer I was almost going to give for biggest load of bullshit because I just my partner said the same thing. We don't think there'd be any way they'd let them be right in the action like that, particularly on such a sensitive operation at the end. And then when they actually got in the way and got someone got killed, like I just don't see it. But generally speaking, I would say that the good soldiers recognize the need for accountability and the public awareness of the war, and also they probably recognize that it's going to help them keep getting like funding. Because people can see what is happening and going, oh, yeah, you really need to be in there.
Yeah. I was kind of the same mind that propaganda is useful and the soldiers understand this, even though they annoy the hell out of them.
Their leaders understand it at the very least and the others just do what they're told.
And, drag the journalists along and help the war effort.
Soldiers are arrogant. They want the fame.
Well, and that was,
I don't necessarily mean that all soldiers are arrogant. I'm not trying to broad brush. Soldier, I'm just thinking, in this case, these soldiers are like, fuck yeah, we're going to be
that
like.
That photo. Slowly develops in and the shit-eating grins on their face.
Oi, everyone, selfie.
We are fucking legendary.
That was such a good way to just, because I thought there would be photos at the end, but I thought it would be a series of Lee's life. Like, that's what I thought they were putting up to. But the fact it was just that photo of them with the dead president all shitting, like they just shot a fucking deer.
And fucking
good hunting trip, bros.
That one's going on the profile.
Yeah.
So crazy. But it totally ties in with what Kahu's been saying, you know, about that public media face of, you know, like the crossover of social media and infotainment and, it's fucking crazy.
So first of my questions, where does this rate amongst Kirsten Dunst's best performances?
I don't know. If it's her best, because I was looking through credits and there's just like a lot I haven't seen. So I feel like I'm not really qualified to say. I know, what a surprise. But I think it must be up there. And I'd specifically point to when she's having that panic attack towards the very end when, you know, the PTSD is kicking in and she's just absolutely losing her shit. I thought that was incredibly powerful, and she was very well done there. And I have to say, this is going to sound really dumb, I know, but I just never really realized how loud and overwhelming a gun battle must be. Like, there was just so much noise and people and movement and lights and fire and just so much going on. And you could really see that she would be absolutely losing her shit. So I thought that was brilliant, and I thought she did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there. The only other thing I can think of is her and Fargo. But even then, I feel like that's cheating because it's like a TV show. We get to spend more time with her. We get to, you know more of her as a character. But, I mean, that is. It's up there. Like, this is fucking amazing. I know everyone at home right now is going, you're a Marvel fan. What about her performances in Spider-Man? Yes. That as well.
Like, totally. Right on. Like, totally. Check me out. Yeah. I mean, that was pretty good. But, yeah.
Yeah. No, I like how it's like a second stage of her acting career, eh? I think that's quite cool.
Yeah, yeah. She's totally maturing. But you call it second stage. She was an Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a child actress.
Yeah.
But yeah, she felt stages. This is the first movie I've seen her where I thought she really felt like she was my age, like middle aged, or you know, not this youthful, young, flary thing.
It's funny, eh? Because I've read a little bit about her performance in this, and some reviewers have said like she's a bit kind of wooden in that. But I'm kind of thinking that's like the whole point, that she's seen so much that she's so detached from it.
She's just exhausted from it all, and she's
Like PTSD the first moment she's on screen, you can sort of tell she's like a world weary and tired individual.
And that's the point she got across really well.
Yeah, and we sort of get to see her melt a little bit, like when she has her photo taken when she's buying the dress and stuff like that. I'm trying to think of, like, she's pretty good in Melancholia, and she's pretty good in like Virgin Suicides and a whole bunch of other films.
I loved her in Virgin Suicides. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's great.
Yeah, she is.
I thought she was really good. So my second question, bringing this film back local, South Island versus North Island of New Zealand, who wins?
I think the South Island wins because most of us defect there. Really, what's the North Island got going on? Auckland? Yay.
North Island will turn on itself.
I think it's got itself. The military is what it's got. Because if the military are fighting for where they're based, then the North Island's absolutely going to kick ass. You've only got some Air Force at Woodville and
they're
some Army.
They're going to defect.
Army at Burnham, and they're not even like the real Army. So... You want the Navy involved?
They're going to defect to the South Islanders. Everyone's going to defect.
Way.
If Auckland says, right, we're declaring independence, fuck the rest of the country, we're going to tell you what to do from now on.
Yeah, but then that's the whole the country versus
Auckland.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Davenport.
We evacuate, leave them to have the North Island, and we have the amazing beauty that is the South Island.
No, main I air think the Navy the fight where they are. Yeah, well, so like the you need the Navy involved because we have so much of a maritime, you know, with coastline and stuff. So you need to have them, and they're all based in North Island. So
major oil terminal in the north.
I think you guys have missed what the true question was trying to ask, which is it's not all North Island versus South Island; it's human versus sheep. And let's be honest,
there are a lot more sheep in the South Island.
Those sheep are going to rise up and kill us, motherfuckers.
I reckon the North Island will annex Stewart Island and then get them in a pincer.
Probably more people with guns in the South Island too, or like farmers and stuff. So,
talking about shitty wars, have you guys seen that ad for Let's All Invade New Zealand on Australia Day?
Oh, yeah, because we have zero planes or whatever.
Like,
yeah,
it's like they've taken the 100% natural ad and it's like 100% green, 100% clean, 100%. Oh, 0% Air Force, 0%.
Yeah, 0%.
100% there for the taking. And they're like, let's all invade New Zealand. There's a day off for you. There's a day off in it for you. It's like,
I have to say, I don't like to think too much about, because like, if someone really wanted to, well, I mean, it's like Tomorrow When the War Began, the series of books, Australian young adult novels or whatever, like how he talks about how that gets taken over by some indiscriminate Asian country. If someone really wanted to do that here, I don't see us being able to put up a huge fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My final question, how close to reality is this for war journalists, do you think? We've kind of touched on it a little bit already.
We have a little bit. I mean, it's kind of funny because there are some completely harrowing and shocking, like, and infamous photos of war that are like, obviously someone had to be there in the midst of this to take these photos and stuff like that. I don't think it's necessarily as extreme as we saw with the guys fucking taking them along for a ride and basically saying, stick to my hip. I mean, these guys were point of the spear invading the warehouse, invading the fucking White House, you know? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? I don't think it's necessarily that close, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I read an article that said it was generally pretty good. They said there was a few technical aspects that weren't quite right, but then that's always the case in movies, right? But it did represent the realities, and they said it was things like debating who's going to go in the vehicles and having to pay huge prices for fuel. And something that really stuck out to me was like, or was quite interesting to realise, was like how much on-the-job learning must be involved to take really good photos at pace in these overwhelming situations. But so like that sort of operational part of the job of actually doing your job, but then also how to navigate countries that don't have proper infrastructure and how to manage with that and cope with that. Because I imagine that there'd be a whole bunch of things you'd have to deal with in those sort of scenarios you just wouldn't have to do in everyday life.
Yeah, you'd have to
bloody hard
be
going.
Great at thinking on your feet.
Yeah, and like I know we talked before about is it, like the ability of them to detach and not care. And you said before about it being a dick move to not help those people. But actually, she's the one there with the skill and the camera and the only one there that can take these photos and get this information out and let people know. So actually, maybe that is what she needs to be doing. I think it is there is a philosophical question there, but I can definitely see the value of it. And I think it is important.
Yeah, because Lee's character does expand on that in the film a little bit. She does talk probably to Jesse, I think it was, about it's just their job to document what's going on and for other people later on to use that for whatever purpose.
Because someone has to do that, because then otherwise you end up with like lies and disinformation because there's nothing to prove anything otherwise. So, I mean, now we're moving into deepfakes and, you know, AI, everything and stuff. It's probably going to be irrelevant in future, but I prefer not to think too much about that.
I feel like the funniest part of the movie was when me and Kahu, my workmate, walked out and I was like, fuck, I want to become a war journalist. These guys were like, really? What? What?
I was like, thank God I'm not a war journalist.
Fuck that noise.
A very specific kind of person to do that, right? Like,
fucking raging psychopaths.
I did. Yeah, when I was growing up, like, I was really interested in it, eh? Like, I'd always, like, read the reports coming out of wherever from war correspondents like Robert Fisk. He was quite a famous
I've heard of Robert Fisk. Yeah.
War correspondent. Yeah. But yeah.
It's like crazy. Working on child exploitation materials, you know, like we need those certain people to be able to do these jobs that most of us couldn't do because someone has to do it because they can get past the this is fucking hideous aspect of it to go, this is what needs to be done. So thank God for them, I guess.
Like, we could legitimately be here all night naming professions that it's like in no way, shape, or form would we ever be fucking suitable for, right? The number of times that I pick up
diesel
my kid from daycare and I'm like, how the fuck are you a daycare teacher? I've got no idea how you do this. You know, through to surgeons, through to fucking war photographer. There's so many jobs that I'm like, how? Yeah. How do you do it?
I think as a war journalist, like, you'd have to be clever, but not think that you're too clever, because I think that's when you'd get into trouble.
When you think I thought it was the biggest load of bullshit as well when she jumps from one car to another.
Yeah,
and then oh my god,
that fucking backfires again. Meek girl decides to jump from one car to another with a guy she's never met before. I'm like,
okay. I actually thought that whole sequence leading to them walking down to kind of get her was, like, I do wonder if that would have actually happened, because they were clearly walking towards people who were threatening to kill their colleagues. Like, the risk
but what
reward
do you do?
Ratio
you just gonna,
there wasn't
they didn't
very
have any
good
guns.
At all.
They couldn't like snipe them from far away or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like their whole,
what else are you gonna do?
Their whole strategy of going down to talk to them, I was like, it's just not gonna end well.
Yeah.
But I think they were well used to. That's something that they had experience doing. They had, I'm sure they'd all been in situations where they just had to, like at the petrol station, where they just had to talk their way through it. And most people in that scenario would be like, fuck, the vibe here is bad. Let's just get in the car and keep going. But she was like, no, I've had to deal with this kind of thing before. I'll just offer you some money. I'm just keeping it professional. So they probably just thought this is just another one of those situations. What I found really cool about that was, it's just not what you expected, because they were going really fast and they were like, where did they go? And you think, oh, they're going to have crashed. And then no. That is not what happened. Something totally different that you could never have predicted. So that was, I thought that was really cleverly done, but also very holy shitballs.
My other deep philosophical debate that came from that was, would I be able to fake an American accent well enough to not get shot in the chest? And I was like, no.
Yeah. Oh, but you wouldn't get shot for being from New Zealand. Everybody loves New Zealand.
No.
You go to New Zealand and he would have been like,
Australia. I can do an Australian accent, mate. I just want to be like, oh, I'm from Australia.
Australia, mate. On the fucking spot, Liz. He would have shot anyone.
They love Australia. New Zealand? No way.
It's near New Hampshire.
Yeah, I mean,
just offshore.
It's near New Mexico. I'm just kidding. Fucking
Boston.
I'm from Boston. Fuck that. I was thinking of Boston accent, but I'd just get shot on the spot. There's fucking nothing.
Mate, look, I'm not even from the great state of Louisiana. Clearly, I'm not American.
Bang! Anyway, talking about worth a try, that moves us down to our last question, which is a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of our mate Nick Haskins, formerly of Nikolai's Kitchen, which I believe is still available to be listened to, but is now part of Two Peas in a Pod. Awesome podcast. They've actually just covered Civil War. They did a great job of it. Way better than anything we've fucking done on it, but... Anyway, go over to Two Peas in a Pod and listen to it. And next question, what type of meal is this movie?
I've said apple pie because it's as American as hell, but it's been made with rotten apples because people ruin America and people are apples.
It's just a few rotten apples, Liz. It's just a few rotten apples.
Well, there you go. A few rotten apples ruin the apple pie. Look, yeah. I don't know. I was losing the plot a bit by the time I got to here, but I think my metaphor
yeah, I've run out of answers
clear.
As well.
I think my metaphor is clear. People ruined America.
Beef jerky and spam. You'll take anything to survive the world that is this movie.
I don't know if I would. Spam sounds really gross.
Yeah, it does. But hunger, I guess, is worse. I don't know.
Suppose.
I just went with a burrito because it's really fucking meaty and like spicy and you don't know what's going to come next and leaves a kind of fucking sour taste in your mouth. But at the same time, it's very nourishing and fulfilling. And
yeah, Jesse Plemons would kill you for that answer. That's not American.
No, burritos are American. No, that's the funniest part. They are American.
Burritos are they?
American. Yeah. Well,
I stand corrected.
It's Mexicans that were living in, I think, Arizona that actually came up with the burrito.
Oh, yeah, because Jesse Plemons would have loved the Mexicans living in Arizona.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't feel he would have known that fact.
No. Well, Jesse Plemons, wait a second.
Yeah.
I think you're fine.
Hang on.
Just hold your pink sunglasses for a second there, Jesse.
Yeah.
I thought I was really good in that.
I'm fucking running that cunt over in a fucking truck. Yeah. Fuck that cunt.
That was good, man. I did not see that coming. I did really like with that. Again, it was another one of those little focus moments where they brought you to just suddenly focus on Joel's name badge. And I think it was like Joel Martinez. So it was obviously like a Latin kind of surname. And they were... Yeah. But it just in the moment, they were like, where are you from? And you're waiting to see what he says. And suddenly your eyes focus on his name and you're like... Oh my God. You know, like, I just thought that was really well done. There's just so many moments
like that.
Just so well done.
So well done,
Alex Garland, you know?
Yes.
Clap.
The more we talk about it, the more I'm actually really liking this movie. I want to go see it again.
Yeah.
This has been a very cerebral podcast.
I thought this is one of our more intelligent ones.
Coming on the heels of Roadhouse. This is pretty different from fucking last week's episode, guys.
We've got to do like dodgeball or something next that's really dumb just so that we can balance it out. Like, you know, it's like a shit sandwich in that case.
Anyway, guys, that does take us down to the end. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to you guys for sticking with us. I know I've threatened the end of the podcast, but now that we've come onto the Potty Network and we've come up with an arrangement for how these are going to work, our lives have become a hell of a lot more easier, and we'd say a massive thank you to Billy and Dave, the two guys behind it. Go and check out all the other shows that they do and produce and put out on the network. It's fucking awesome. I've never wanted to be part of a podcast network, and I'm fucking stoked to be part of this one. It's the only one that I would ever consider joining. Would have been one that some of my friends for our podcasting years have created, and so I'm very happy to be on this. And we're the first like one outside of the shows that they've created to be on this network. How fucking awesome is that?
Yeah, it's so cool. And actually, Sam alluded to it in the last episode I was in, and we're getting very close to time, so I'm still not going to tell you any very specific details, but I'm actually involved in a brand new project that they're developing, and I'm really excited for it. So you guys will have to keep an eye out for that, and that's something that I'm doing with Billy and Dave and a couple of others. So,
yes.
It's exciting.
Yeah. I actually got a sneak peek of that. I got driven to an airport by Liz and she forced it upon me and made me listen to this. I keep getting my phone whacked out of my hand. I kept fucking, hey, you listen. That was funny, wasn't it? Hey, you listen. The whole night.
It was quite funny.
That is an enjoyable experience. Listeners, I'll tell you what, there's enjoyable. Send help. It's a really enjoyable experience. Help me, she's got me hostage. Anyway, it's lots of fun.
It's like we're a little tech startup that's been bought by Google or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, look, Google, I'm happy to be bought out by Google. Just pay me the millions and I'll be there.
I'll happily never work again. If mm-hmm. Google would like to give me a couple of $1 million, I'll clearly take their money and run. I am the Sammy of this.
Fucking... Yeah, Google's listening to this and going, oh, thank goodness, we'll just get him out of our hair.
Yeah, we'll buy you to stop you talking. Like, we'll buy the podcast just so it never happens again.
The funny part is Google actually recently shut down Google Podcasts, and I'm like, I wonder if that was me. Very main character energy from me, but I wonder if that was me. Anyway, yeah, that's thanks for me.
Don't let them kill me, but also goodbye.
Yo.